Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersWork.com here on Seaside FM. I'm Costas Halavrezos. As we age, it's not uncommon to become more intrigued about the story of how our ancestors came to Canada. If you're seeking documentation, or perhaps just want details about their journey, perhaps you should make your own journey to Pier 21 on the Halifax waterfront, one of Canada's national museums. Today on Encore, I'm joined by Carrie Ann Smith, Chief of Audience Engagement at Pier 21. Carrie Ann joined the Pier 21 Society in the summer of 1998 and has watched an idea evolve into one of the seven wonders of Canada, the Canadian Museum of Immigration at Pier 21. Ms. Smith now oversees interpretation, visitor experience, public programs, education, the Scotiabank Family History Center, and the Volunteer Corps at Pier 21. Carrie Ann Smith, welcome to Encore.
Thank you.
Do you have any idea how many Canadians might have actually come through the immigration shed at Pier 21 or be descended from those people?
It's about 1 million immigrants passed through Pier 21, and because of them and the servicemen and women who came and went in the Second World War, one in five Canadians has a family connection to the physical site.
That's huge.
I know.
Now, when the descendants, especially of those people, come to Pier 21, what are some of the services you can provide them as they try to, I guess, fill in the blanks in their family genealogy, for instance, or their family story?
Yeah, from 1999, so we opened on Canada Day in 1999, small interpretive center, we always had a little special library. And it's grown and evolved over the years, and today it's the Scotiabank Family History Center. So a lot of people start their visit there, and that's some place that you can come 7 days a week for free without even getting admission, and someone will help you get started on putting your family story together. They can search Canadian arrival records between 1865 and 1935. And many, many other sources.
Well, what are some of those other sources that you can tap into?
Yeah, departure records. Mm-hmm. In Canada, once you had permission to come in and you got here, we didn't worry if you left. We didn't track people leaving, but some countries did. So if someone was looking for a 1950s immigration record for a relative that came from Estonia, we couldn't do it. It's not public yet. But if they were looking for the record of someone that came out of the UK or Germany, we could show them that the departure record. The British have gone digital with 1890 to 1960. So we'll find a war bride coming, and then we'll find her coming again a couple of years later after having taken the children home to visit the family. Those British departure records, it's England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales for all those years, and they tracked everybody even if they were going on vacation.
Now, what about the war years specifically?
The war years are still held at Library and Archives Canada by the Personnel Records Unit, and the family of Canadian veterans has a right to those records, and we can give them the form and make the introduction so they can find them. World War One is all public, and it's actually online on the Library and Archives Canada website, and they're fantastic. They're the attestation papers, so they have the physical descriptions of the people and the signatures.
So aside from, you know, providing access to domestic Canadian records, it sounds as if you've been growing the network of information that you can provide people at Pier 21 internationally.
That's right, and it's not just limited to Halifax. We can do all of Canada between 1865 and 1935, and there's new sources all the time. Genealogy was just sort of in its infancy when we opened in 99, but it exploded with commercial companies and a lot of partnerships between commercial companies and national repositories like Library and Archives Canada and the British Library. So there's new digital sources all the time.
A documentation is one thing, but what about the more anecdotal side of that immigrant journey from somewhere else in the globe through that shed at Pier 21 to Canada?
Again, because we always had the library, we've never stopped collecting. We opened in 99 with 50 stories. We have about 2,700 now, thousands of hours of oral history interviews. For the last few years, we've been doing video interviews and working with people who immigrated to Canada in different periods so that they can make short films called digital stories about it. So it's a story museum. So when someone says, oh, you know, you don't, we have to tell someone. I'm so sorry we don't have the record because it's too recent and it's not public yet. Here's how you get it from Ottawa. But here's a menu from the ship. And here's three stories from people that were with your mom when she came. Because the anecdotal collection is so huge. There's always something that we can give people. And some people kept diaries. Some people, especially after the Second World War, wrote down what they ate at every single meal. Some people wrote down everybody else's business on the ship. It's just a fantastic wealth of information in people's personal memoirs.
And do you see a tendency of more of, say, the baby boom generation coming there on that kind of quest for information?
That's exactly what we see the most. People have the time now to reflect. That first generation is one day at a time. They're not looking back, but their kids are. And they're so proud of the opportunities that their parents gave them that they want to honor them by knowing as much as possible about what their experience was like. And sometimes they bring them back and we get to walk the actual floors where they walked, and their children and grandchildren have an opportunity to hear it firsthand. And sometimes when they've lost a parent, sometimes without having asked those questions, which they deeply regret, they're piecing it together based on the experience of other people.
I'm Costas Halavrazos, and you're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com on Seaside FM. My guest today is Carrie Ann Smith, Chief of Audience Engagement at the Canadian Museum of Immigration at Pier 21. Now, you're also a writer yourself, one of the women of Italian descent who contributed to Mamma Mia, Good Italian Girls Talkback. How did some of the reflections in your memoir connect with the stories you've heard from people who visit Pier 21?
Oh, I never thought about it. Well, one thing, I got asked to help with the book project, and I was thrilled to do so. And it's not a serious story. It is me making fun of my mother, which I think is the source of a lot of humor for many, many people. But she didn't know where her grandfather came from. She knew that he came from Italy, and I couldn't find his record. But right around the same time that book project was going on, I had an opportunity to do an exchange with a park ranger at Ellis Island, and that's where I found his record. It was a little bit cheaper, excuse me, for people in the 19-teens coming from Europe to sail into New York and then get on a train. So there he was, my great-grandfather, coming from the village. It was five men from the same village in Italy, all going to Sault Ste. Marie in Northern Ontario to make steel. So in the summer of 1994, I was a fourth-generation steelworker.
Amazing.
In the same mill. Yep.
It's interesting. You mentioned Ellis Island, and I think just about every American knows the significance of Ellis Island as a first stop for immigrants to the U.S. Is Pier 21 getting any closer to having that kind of prominence in Canadians' minds?
I hope so. I think being named one of the Seven Wonders of Canada helped people across the country know who we are. We were closed over the winter, and we reopened in June with a brand new Pier 21 exhibit, inspired and reflecting that huge collection I described earlier. And our national mandate is to tell the entire story of immigration. So we have another 9,000 square foot gallery, the Canadian Immigration Hall, that looks at first contact right through today. So we got a lot of media attention from that as well. So I hope we're getting that name recognition. And sometimes I will say, without regret, Canada's Ellis Island, whatever it takes to help people remember.
Now, what about some of the gaps that you're looking to fill in what you have available for visitors to Pier 21?
It's the contemporary story. Like I was saying, the baby boomers are reflecting on their personal journeys as children and their parents' journeys, but the newcomers to Canada today have all a huge range of fascinating experience, but they're not in that place yet where they have the time and the distance from the experience to look back. So we've been trying really hard to send our oral historians across the country. We did a national digital storytelling workshop in 10 cities to collect contemporary stories. And we'll just keep, I mean, it's a living history site. And right now, a lot of the people we see are those that immigrated through in the 50s. But in 50 years, it's going to be completely different people. So we always want to have as much as possible to offer everybody.
So now that Pier 21 is part of a national network of Canadian museums, how has its role and profile changed?
I think the profile is higher. One of my favorite things about being a national museum is getting to work with our sister museums. We look forward to a day where we can do a fantastic collaboration with the Canadian Museum for Human Rights. Our content overlaps so strongly. And just in November, we're bringing in an exhibit that we partnered with the Canadian Museum of History on, about the Empress of Ireland and the sinking in the St. Lawrence. We're going to host that exhibit down at the museum from November of this year through November of next year. So great to have those big institutions as sisters.
Now, I understand you depend a lot on very dedicated volunteers at Pier 21. How would someone apply, and what are some of the kinds of jobs available?
Yeah, we have a fantastic, Annette Carter is our manager of volunteer services. They can contact her, they can contact me or anyone on the whole staff and set up a meeting to talk about what they're looking for and what we have. We do have a lot of opportunities because there are volunteers in most departments. So if someone had a retail background and they were interested in maybe coming down during the cruise ship season and meeting lots of our fantastic American guests, they might like to be in the gift shop. If someone likes public speaking, maybe they'd want to be a tour guide. Right now I'm doing some new projects and I would love to find a nautical history buff, a train guy, somebody that knows Morse code, because we're putting in a little telegraph office so that people can send messages. Lots of interesting opportunities, and in areas like administration as well. It's a fun, fun place to volunteer.
Those are some great opportunities.
Yeah. I hope someone's out there. Oh, and retired teachers. I'm just desperate in education for some retired teachers who would like to learn our programs and help deliver them to the many school group visitors.
There are a few of those around, I hear.
I know that there are, but we're not finding them, or they're not finding us. So if anybody's out there, we'd love to hear from them.
Well, I think some of them listen to this program. Carrie-Anne, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Carrie-Anne Smith is Chief of Audience Engagement at the Pier 21 Museum of Immigration on the Halifax waterfront. She oversees interpretation and visitor experience, public programs, education, the Scotiabank Family History Center, and the Volunteer Corps. If you want to comment on today's show, you can send us an email, encore@boomerswork.com. That's encore, E-N-C-O-R-E, at boomerswork.com. Each week at this time, boomerswork.com brings you Encore here at Seaside FM. We'll introduce you to men and women exploring the opportunities and challenges of special interest to the growing number of Canadians aged 50 and over.